everybody. My name is Shannon Mondor. I created Fulfillment in Faith because I discovered that many people want and are desperately searching for help. People of all backgrounds, whether they suffer from an addiction or not, are contacting me. They are scared, don't know who to turn to, don't know what to do next, have no direction in life, and they are wanting guidance. They have searched me out due to my success story of how I battled addiction to alcohol, mental illness, suicide, and lived with an abusive past. I overcame my past and used my experiences to help myself and to gain knowledge on how I could help others to go forward and to find their greatness within as I have. With those tools, I gained confidence, strength, and freedom, and have since published a book, How in the Hell Did I Get Here? And I am a successful mindset and manifesting coach. I made that choice to help others with my experiences, as I have been where so many are right now. So welcome to my podcast. Hello, everybody, and welcome to my podcast, Fulfillment in Faith. I am your host, Shannon Mondor. Today's episode is a continuation of my series, You Are Not the Only One. I was brought forth to do this series because during my healing from my addiction to alcohol, there were so many times that the universe had brought me to silence. And during those times is when I learned so many things about myself and I was guided. I was guided to talk openly about my past, my abuse, my addiction, and to speak my truth. From those moments of silence is when we learn, we grow, and then we teach and help others. Today, my guest is Jolie Rashawn, who is here to share her story. Welcome, Jolie. How are you?
Good. How are you? Hello, everyone.
I'm doing absolutely amazing. Amazing. So, Jolie, can you tell my audience where a little bit about yourself, like where you're from? And then after that, if you just want to get nicely into your story, that would be wonderful.
Well, I am originally from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, born and raised. And I believe I was in seventh grade, moved to Texas, DFW area, and have been here for the majority of about 24 years. And so, I've moved, a couple of places, but been grounded here in Texas. And it was really a blessing for the move to Texas. When you're young, you don't think so. You think, oh my God, you're taken away from my life, my family. But it was definitely a blessing to me and also to my immediate family. And so my story, growing up in Florida, I was exposed to a lot of different things, a lot of, drug dealers, a lot of fights, things like that. And to me, it was just normal. It was just every day, hey, there are these people, hey, there are them. Oh, someone getting arrested. That was the norm, for me. When I was about five, from five to maybe about eight, I was molested. And it took away, the feminine side of what little girls are supposed to be. I have memories of, me making mud pies with my grandmother and, jelly shoes and playing outside as a little girl. And then there's this hole. And then my memory jumps to playing football in the street with the little boys and racing without any shoes on and nothing girly anymore, all just masculine things. And not knowing that from that age, I developed a camouflage mechanism. And I was able to use those things that I thought I was hiding, the things that I had been through. And that played on throughout my life. It took me into not trusting men. It took me into being promiscuous. It took me into falling for the wrong type of men. My dad was not in the picture. And so, you as they say, you look for love in all of the wrong places. Well, love for me came from all of the wrong places. And sometimes what seemed to be the right place was not the right place. And so I became a mother very young. By the time I was 22, I had four children. I had been married already, going through a divorce, been through two abusive relationships. And when I say abusive, sometimes we think abusive is just physical, and it doesn't start physical. It starts, you know, mental and emotional. And I experienced every form of abuse there is, to the point where I was inflicting verbal abuse on myself. I was telling myself I was no good. And hey, if they said I'm not any good, then, you know, maybe that's the truth. Maybe I'm not good enough. You know, oh, I'm already a mother. Who's going to want somebody that's already have four children? You know, I'm, you know, just everything other people were pushing on me, I had started to accept for myself. So I had become my own abuser and didn't even know it. And so growing up, being a young mother, going through the different things, I became homeless with my children, sleeping in different churches. You know, I didn't go to the shelters because I was too afraid to go into the shelters. But a lot of times what we don't realize, or what they don't tell you, is that even when the churches open their doors to the homeless, they cannot guarantee your safety, even though they are the church. So I still found myself having to protect my children, even in the place where we feel like we should have the most protection. So going from church to church, trying to provide a safe space for my children, you know, riding the bus every day, and, you know, using those times to make fun. You know, we talk about being ourselves and laughter, and God definitely allowed laughter to be my help, because I found things to provide fun for my children. Even to the point where my son got, you know, he's a little older to understand things. I had told him that, you know, us driving cars, that we were people that drove cars were lazy, that the bus system was the best thing that you could do. And so every time we would get on the bus, the kids would be like, look at those lazy people driving their cars down the street. And I was like, yes, they're lazy. The bus, you know, we have our bus pass for the week. So I made our situation as fun as possible. And when we, you know, because I had been back and forth to between Texas and Florida. So when we finally, you know, said, hey, Texas is it, you know, our area that we live in, we don't have any bus systems. So my son was like, well, Mom, everybody here is lazy. They don't even have a bus. And I had to explain to him, okay, Mama kind of told a couple of fibs back then, but it was so that way we were not, you know, depressed or going through because we didn't have a car. And so now we revisit those situations and we can laugh about it. So just remembering all of those different things, remembering, you know, at one point, I got, you know, second marriage was just as bad as the first. And I remember after going through that divorce, I had got to a point where I kind of started feeling like my kids would be better off without me being here. Maybe someone else can provide more for them than what I could provide. And my kids were definitely my saving grace, because every time I got to a point where I contemplated suicide, God would always allow my kids to enter the room, or would allow something to happen to where I had to take the focus off of the what ifs. And so I'm so grateful for them. You know, a lot of times we, you know, our kids look up to us, but I'm so grateful for them, because if I did not have them, I don't know where I would be at this point. And so I told myself, you know, Jolie, you have to find your way. And I tell anybody, when you hit rock bottom, there is nowhere else to go but up. Mm-hmm. So when I hit my rock bottom, I knew I had to use all of the rocks that were down there to start making stepping stones to get myself out of the situation I was in. And I started little by little, and I started, you know, I separated myself from relationships, and I really started working on me. I accidentally got into modeling, and it was the best thing for me at that time because it allowed me to start loving who I was. It allowed me to see the beauty beyond what other people said or didn't say. And I learned to accept me for me and my truth and owning who I was and the things that have happened to me and acknowledging that everything that I went through was not all my fault. Me being molested, that was not my fault. I was a little girl. I had no control over that. But I had to forgive myself because I didn't realize that for so many years, I blamed myself for that. Maybe I smiled too hard. Maybe I was too friendly. Maybe I did something wrong to cause these things. And I had to forgive myself and say, these things were not your fault. Stop carrying all of the weight of things that had happened to you. And I got into that, and I thought modeling was it. I thought that was, you know, okay, God's going to open major doors. And really what he used it for was for me to find my voice again, to start opening up and telling people, you know, about things that I had been through and how, you know, I started to love who I was again. And one day I hosted an event, a domestic violence event. And I was like, well, this is good because I've been through some of those things. So I'm able to relate. And when I got there, the host or the event host, she was a motivational speaker. And I said, oh, my God, that'll be great for me. I'd be able to tell my story. I'd be able to share with everybody what I've gone through. And I connected with her coach, who's now my coach. And I went in it with just the mindset of, let me get my certification to be able to speak and help people, not knowing that journey would take me on my healing journey, because I still had situations. I still had things that I went through that I had not dealt with. I had things buried so far down that I had forgot I went through, because I had just told myself, we're not revisiting this again. We're gonna seal this off with unicorns and flowers and whatever else, and we're not gonna go in those doors. And going through that process, I had to relive a lot of emotions. I had to relive a lot of crying nights, and I had to relive a lot of just hatred that I had in my heart and that I didn't know I had. And I almost backed out of the process because those feelings I had for years told myself I would never feel those things again. And I had to, in order for me to heal, I had to go through them again. So going through that process, being able to face, you know, all of the fears, being able to face all of, you know, when I was little, they used to say the boogeyman is in your room under your bed when it's dark. I had to face all of my boogeymans that I had trapped in my closet. And when I did, I felt so much better. And I said, okay, now I'm ready to really share and tell people my story. And so the first thing my coach said was, she was like, well, you have to write a book. And I said, I cannot put all of my stuff in a book. I don't know if people are ready for that type of truth. And she said to me, it's not about you. It's about the people that need to hear you. And from then on, I have been writing and speaking ever since. And that process started, I think, in 2017. And here we are, 2023. And I'm still on my journey to helping as many people. And sometimes, you know, people get stuck in the women empowerment, but I'm so grateful that I have met men who have been through some of the same things that I've gone through that I have been able to help, or that have said, you know what, I'm ready to tell my story, because I've been ashamed about these things that have happened to me, but you have given me a reason to find my voice and to help somebody else. So my goal is just to help all, whoever needs it, however I can, you know, touch someone's life by my story. It's amazing. And, you know, I laugh, you know, chuckle. My mom did not find out that I was homeless or that I was molested until the book came out in August of 2019.
Oh my goodness. So, what was her reaction? In a very tough time for her.
Yes.
So, your mama, right? Wow.
Yeah, her initial, you know, oh my God, you know, did you feel like you couldn't tell me? And I don't think it was that. I think it was more so my mom worked two jobs. Like, my mom worked her butt off to try and make up for her being the only parent. And my molester, I knew him, you know, and it was hey, this is our little secret. And it got to the point where I didn't like the secret anymore. So I kind of shied away from everyone. And there were times where I wanted to tell her, but it just always seems like whenever I tried to, something else happened. And so, you know, I know it hurt her, but I had to really tell her that it wasn't her fault. And that was the main thing I wanted her to know. Like, I don't blame her for anything that happened to me. And, you know, even though me and my mom have always been close, it brought us closer. Mm-hmm. But it's always funny when I go speak and my mom is there, because she says, I cringe every time you get the mic, because I never know what you're getting ready to say or what truth is coming out that maybe I don't know about, because things are still surfacing. Like, oh my goodness, I had that hid away for mm-hmm. so many years. And, you know, we hear people talk about counseling mm-hmm. and I can speak and say for the African American community, growing up, people made a mockery of counseling. Oh, why are you going to a counselor? Oh, that means you're crazy. Well, counseling is actually very healthy. And I tell people all the time, I said, I cannot wait to go and lay on someone's sofa and allow them to dissect my mind, because I know it is so much in there that I have suppressed that I still have not allowed to surface, because I personally don't know how. We don't know how to ask ourselves the deep questions to make us think, you know, and I equate that to when you go to the gym, you know. When I go, you know, I pick up the 10 pound. I'm like, okay, this is heavy enough. And I'm going to do my reps. And when it starts to burn, I'm going to say, okay, that's enough. But then you have a trainer that pushes you and say, do three more. Just do one more. And he pushes you beyond what you knew you could do. Well, we only know to think as far as we know. But then you have that person that's trained to say, let me ask the deeper questions to lift some of those layers that you don't even know are there. So, like, I cannot wait. I said, I'm looking for the right counselor, the right person to just really just allow me to just really just open up, because it is a beautiful thing when you really start to accept who you are, which is why I started the conference, Step in Your Truth. Because we cannot expect people to accept us when we can't even accept our authentic self. When we can't accept all of the ugly that has come our way, all of the bad things we've done. A lot of, at work today, it was funny because we were talking, and when things happen, we're quick to put the blame on something else or someone else instead of saying, my bad, I messed up. It's easy to just say it's somebody else's fault. When you get to the point where you can own when you've messed up, when you've been the one at fault and say, listen, my bad. You know, I didn't mean to do that. I apologize, and know why you're apologizing. It becomes so much easier to just really love on you and accept the things about you, whether you like them or not. I have some things I don't really like about myself, but I still love myself. And if I want to change them, then I know what to do to change them. Mm-hmm. But those are just, hey, you know what? I don't like the extra little rolls I got, but I love me. And if I want to get rid of the rolls, then I know I got to go to the gym 4 or 5 times a week and be consistent. So these are things that we don't think matter, but they matter to who you are. And so that's my journey. And I'm until there's no breath left in me, Shannon, I will travel and I will speak and I will encourage and I will pour out until I have nothing left.
And what I love about the beauty of all these platforms that are starting to happen, like when I started this platform of this series, You Are Not the Only One, I had no idea the impact that I was having on people. Mm-hmm. Like all of these different guests, and then coming on, and then after the interview was done, and they're saying to me, oh gosh, thank you for letting me speak my truth. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, wow, right? Like I created it because I had gone through, you know, my mm-hmm. trauma in my past and everything, but I didn't have a platform to go on. So I was just going with my intuition of what I needed to heal, what was taking me on my next journey. And, and now I've created such a beautiful environment, a beautiful community as well, you know, through my book, through my podcast, now through my coaching. And I had no idea what I was creating, but now I understand. And now the beauty in that is unbelievable. Unbelievable. Yeah. And when it comes to the counseling as well, I have been through counseling for many, many years, and absolutely a godsend, no question. And you know, and I understand what you're saying. You know, no one ever talked about going to counselors openly mm-hmm. or openly, therapy, any about that. And that's where it really needs to be normalized, where it's okay. Yeah. It is absolutely okay to talk to somebody. If you can't talk to a family or a friend, you know, go talk to a therapist. You know, mm-hmm. that's what they're there for. They're to help you go through the problems. But that's also where our coaching comes in as well, too, right? Yeah. You know, we've experienced these things. And, you know, through my counseling sessions throughout the year, too, I did find that they were good in some areas. But I needed, as I was healing more and more and more, I really needed somebody that had experienced the same thing I had. Mm-hmm. I started to feel that there was a disconnection, and you know what I'm talking about as well too, right? And so that's why I'm like, okay, like this is where I can really start to help people with my story, sharing my story. And wow, what a difference, you know, to have someone that you can relate to with thoughts, feelings, mm-hmm. and emotions, and you're on the same level, and you know, because you've been through that, right? So you can rise them above that, right? Because of your experiences, and the power in that is beyond amazing.
Oh, yes.
Another thing I want to talk about now, as you had said, with men. Now, like I am so thankful, because when this whole series of mine started, it was a lot of women. Mm-hmm. And now with more and more stories coming out, my platform is available. Men are aware of it now. So I'm getting more and more men that I'm doing the meet and greets with, and coming in the future, that's where all the interviews are coming in with all these men. And I am so grateful that I am going to have an equal amount of women plus men share their stories, because they have been grown up in a society where you're a man, you don't express your feelings.
Yeah.
And it's like, no way, Jose, you know? And that's like, even when it comes to my son, really express your feelings, like don't ever suppress them.
Yeah.
To me, that is such an old way of thinking that has to stop. That's yes. where our problems are all created.
Yes.
Unbelievable, right?
And, you know, it's funny because I think the end of last year, around Thanksgiving time, maybe, my mom, my sister and I, our families, we all got together and we said that we're going to start doing monthly wellness checks mm-hmm. where we come together, no cell phones, and we really just sit down and open up and tell how we're feeling. However that is, whether it is, hey, you know what? I think I'm feeling a little depressed. This is why. But making it a safe space for them to come and talk to us. And we also are transparent about how we're feeling or if, you know, something has transpired and maybe the other person doesn't know, but it gives that space to be open and to clear the air. And it has really worked and helped us because, like you said, especially the younger generation, they, you know, they don't want to open up. Everything is so technology and, oh, I'll just text. No, let's put the phones down and let's actually talk. Mm-hmm. And express how we feel. And, you know, we have four young guys and men in our family, in our immediate family here in Texas. And it's just so amazing to hear them express how they feel mm-hmm. and not be ashamed to say, hey, this upset me, or hey, I'm feeling down about this, or hey, I feel emotional today. I feel vulnerable. What does that mean? And we be able to all love on each other and provide the comfort. And so, you know, that has to be the new norm because the old way didn't work.
Yeah, so. It does have to be the new norm. And that's one thing that I'm really paying attention with my children is because there's always trigger words when they're upset mm-hmm. or something, right? And, you know, I've got one child that doesn't really say a lot. So when, you know, he does speak, I really have to pay attention because mm-hmm. I know that whatever he's saying is extremely important to him, yeah. You know, and it's like, okay. And that's the thing now, because I know where I've been because of what my past has brought me to, you know, it's like, I really pay attention to my children. It's conversations. It's like listening to what they're saying, what their feelings are, their emotions are, because they count. Back yes. in our day when we were younger, we were disregarded, mm-hmm. you know, like, we were kids. You don't listen to kids.
Well, you don't listen to kids. You don't talk back to adults.
Yeah, you do listen to children. You know, you do listen to what they have to say. Yes. Yeah, just absolutely. Yeah, it's times have just changed and we just have to go with the flow and we have to acknowledge that. And that's another reason why I wanted to do this platform, mm-hmm. you know, because there are so many people on so many levels need to start paying attention, but they also need help as well. Right. And it's just by us speaking about different topics and whatever that you know, because whoever's going to be listening to this is going to be brought forth to listen to this particular episode for a particular reason. And it's going to be, yeah, that makes sense. Right. Yes. You know, but it's definitely all about learning and growing and teaching and, you know, and so that brings me to my question with you, Jolie, is through your experiences, what is the most important thing that you learned through all of this?
I think the most important thing is my voice matters. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter what someone else thinks about it. My feelings are my feelings, and mm-hmm. I am entitled to feel how I feel. And, you know, I spread that down to my children. Your feelings are yours. You are entitled to feel how you feel, but let's get to the root cause of why you feel that way. Mm-hmm. You know, when you get in an argument with somebody and somebody tells you, you know, you really made me mad. The easy thing to do is to retaliate. We sometimes listen to respond instead of listen to acknowledge. And so if Shannon, you tell me, Jolie, you know what, you really hurt my feelings when I said this, my response shouldn't be, oh my God, stop being so sensitive. My response should be, Shannon, I'm so sorry that I hurt your feelings. I didn't know I hurt your feelings. What exactly did I do to hurt you that way? I can teach myself, hey, don't do that again.
Yeah.
And so as children, you know, if something hurt us, it was go sit down, stop crying.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give you something to cry about, you know, things like that. And now it has to be a, why are you crying? You know, what how are you feeling? And I know I get on my kids' nerves, but they understand why, because I'm always asking, especially when I see a difference. Hey, your voice doesn't matter. What's wrong? What's wrong? You can tell me nothing all day, but your body language and your actions show me that there's something wrong. So I'm the parent that keeps probing. What's wrong? What's wrong? Even to the point where if it breaks you, guess what? Now you're going to tell me what's wrong, and you're more emotional than I thought. And then everything comes out, but your voice matters. Tell me what's wrong so that way we can fix it. And whether it be me, mom, you did this and it upset me. Okay, well, I apologize. I didn't mean to upset you. So where do we go from here so that way we don't get back to this point? And so knowing that how it feels to not have my voice, it made me acknowledge that other people are entitled to their voice and they're entitled to their feelings.
And so, I'm so on the same page with you. And it has really just come into, I don't know if it's because of the work and the person that I've become or what it is or how I communicate with my children, but I really notice with my kids now, like I'm so passionate in so many different areas of my life and, you know, me speaking my truth or whatever, and just being me. And there's sometimes where my daughters have said to me, like we've had a conversation or whatever. And sometimes I get too involved with what I'm saying. Right. And I have been, you know, where I disregarded or whatever, right? You know, and they'll be like, mom, like that really hurt my feelings. And I'll have to, oh, because I don't realize it, right? Because I'm so, you know, I'm so truthful with things. But I'm so glad that I am raising my daughters to be able to come to me and right away tell me, like, mom, this, and they're tearing up and they're crying, mom, this really hurt me or whatever. And I'm just kind of like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they trust in me enough that they can come and express their feelings. And that's what I'm getting at, that I've built that type of relationship with my children. You know, and there's such power and strength in that. And it's just, because I'm also learning something from them as well. Right.
Mm-hmm.
They're setting their healthy boundaries really early.
Yes. Yes. Where
I didn't send my, you know, until I was in my 50s, for God's sake.
Yeah.
Right. I'm 54, you know, and they're in their teens and they're setting their healthy boundaries. And I'm like, yes. So my work and with their growth, they're getting a lot. So I am raising very strong children.
Yes, indeed. Yes,
so
indeed.
I'm very, very proud of that. Yeah. Yeah. That was a very good point that you brought up. I'm glad that you did.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. That was really, really good. So what is it that you want others to know?
Well, I want others to know that regardless of what you've been through, and what I had to do is I'm such a person that I like to use things, analogies. I love analogies. And I look at when we talk about battle, when people go to the army and they come back, if you don't know any, they tell you, they show you their battle scars. And, oh, I got this scar when I went here and, you know, I fought this, and, oh, I got this scar over here. And I started thinking about my life and I said, you know what? Every situation that I've been through, I'm going to treat it like a battle scar. And I'm going to be proud of the fact that I got this scar doing this. And I got this scar because I went through this. And I got, you know, we look at giving birth, we have stretch marks, and they remind us of the process that we went through of, you know, carrying our children until we had them. So even the situations in our life, whether they be good or bad, look at those as battle scars and be proud, because you're still here to tell the story of how you overcame whatever you went through.
Mm-hmm.
I can harp on all day that I was homeless with my children, and I could, you know, get a lot of people to feel sorry for me. but that does nothing. But when I treat it as a battle scar and say, you know what, back in, 2000, whatever, I was homeless with my children. And now I'm doing X, Y, and Z. I can check mark that battle scar. And it's a different type of power that you send out when you tell it. So your life, don't look at the negative and leave it there. Look at it as a positive and say, you know what? I overcame because I'm still breathing. I'm still moving. And I try to remember to look back, even if it's 6 months. Jolie, what were you doing 6 months ago? Are you still doing the same thing you're doing 6 months ago? No, you've made progress. Pat yourself on the back because you're doing a good job. Mm-hmm. We sometimes, I've been guilty of it, of wanting the end results during the process and not enjoying the process, knowing I'm getting to the end result. Mm-hmm. So enjoy the in-between, enjoy the scenic route, enjoy going through the mountains, enjoy getting some of the rain. Rain comes to wash away the bad, but to provide the water to start growth of new things. So enjoy the storm, enjoy the scars, and embrace it all and say, hey, my journey is still going. I tell people at my conference, we're not going to say tell our story, because when you get a book, like I have a book here, and at the end of the story, it ends on page 171, and then there's nothing else there. But when you say your journey, it's everlasting, it's still going. There's no end to the journey unless you stop. Mm-hmm. So enjoy your journey. Keep pushing on your journey and enjoy it. Every time I'm going through a situation, I get excited because I'm excited for the lesson I need to learn out of it, but I'm excited for the outcome because I can't see it yet. But I'm like, it must be something great because too much is brewing right now. So what is getting ready to happen on the other side? So just embrace who you are, embrace your scars, embrace your journey, enjoy it, and let it work for you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So where are you now in life?
So I'm still speaking. I'm still coaching. I am now training coaches and speakers. I have my conference that I'm on year two. It's called Step in Your Truth. So I travel and provide the platform for other speakers and coaches to come and speak and share their story. It's a safe space for all. It's fun. I think I was a comedian in my former life, as they say it, because I don't know how not to tell jokes when I'm talking, but my grandmother used to always tell me that laughter was the best medicine. And I honestly feel like she was a doctor because she was so spot on with that. I'm a published author, so I've written several projects of my own, but then I'm also a part of about, I think, almost 8 anthologies. And I just recently, I think I just hit my 30-day mark, but I competed in my first pageant and won. So yeah. I'm now National Mrs. All World Beauties. So that has definitely been a blessing. I am getting ready to publish my own anthology. So still looking for speakers and authors or first-time authors to be a part. It's called Truth or Dare, to share their truth. And I'm excited. I'm so excited. My podcast starts back up tonight. So
what's the name of your podcast?
It is Truthful Conversations with
Truthful
Jolie.
Conversations. Okay. Yes. Wonderful. Yes. Wonderful.
So I'm excited. I'm really excited. However I can share my story, however I can bring people together and just provide the safe space, I am doing that.
So. Wonderful. Well, congratulations. And I got to say thank you so much for sharing your story on this podcast. Yes. You're definitely making a change in people's lives. And I'm so happy and blessed that you are a part of my journey. There's no question about it. But I want all the audience to know as well that any information that Jolie has shared on the program today, that it's all going to be in the podcast notes. So if you want to find out more, just go to the podcast notes and everything will be there. But at this time, I also want to say thank you so much, Jolie, for being on my program.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me. Oh, it's such an honor.
Thank you. Thank you. It's been a great conversation. I'm so blessed. In closing, I would like everybody that like this podcast to please subscribe, and I ask that you tell your friends. I also invite you to go to my website, shannonmondor.com, and check it out and look at my one-on-one coaching. And there you will also find my Fulfillment in Faith program, which is a 6-month personal development coaching program, which will absolutely change your life. So once again, I thank you, Jolie, and I thank everybody for listening to the podcast today. And I hope everybody has an absolutely amazing day. I want to say thank you for sharing this time with me. And don't forget to subscribe so you receive every episode. And please share this podcast with others. Follow me on Facebook and Instagram. And if you would like more information on my mindset and manifesting coaching, go to shannonmondor.com. Until next episode, blessings to all, and thank you for being a part of my journey.